heads up because they had been subdued. It reads on and says, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. So what we did in the last 3 weeks was we went through a sub-series called Embracing the New. And we looked at the fact that Gideon had to, he had to embrace a new identity. His new identity came as a result of him making a decision. His decision was to follow the Lord, to believe that the Lord had said, you are a mighty man, Gideon, and I want you to do something. And what I want you to do to start on this journey is to pull down your daddy's idols. So Gideon had to turn away from his legacy of how he had prior had been identified before that, an identity of being poor. And he said, well, my whole family is poor and I'm the least of my family and I'm this and I'm that. And all of that was based on his experience and his life, his culture and his household. And God said, not so. I'm here now. And here's what I'm saying about you. And he gave him something very practical to do, which was to go and pull down your daddy's idols with your daddy's bullock, cut down your daddy's grove. And with the wood that comes from your daddy's grove, take one of your daddy's bulls and sacrifice them on the altar. So a very, very in your face, I'm done with this lifestyle and I'm a brand new man. And of all the people that came after God had said, you're a mighty man, his daddy came and said, you are now Jerubbaal. His daddy stood up for him because of the men who wanted to kill him for pulling down their idols, for exposing the evil deeds that they were committed to. So he had to embrace his new identity. He had to embrace that and walk in that. And then he had to embrace new relationships. And we talked about that. We talked about, man, when you turn away from the culture, when you turn and go upstream instead of downstream, when you go the narrow way instead of the broad way, every relationship in your life is likely to change. Every relationship won't likely be severed, but it's definitely going to change when you turn and go in a totally different direction. And we have to embrace that. So it's a little preparation to go down this road to where we have quietness and peace and where we see that we are God's people. And there's no reason in the world that we should be God's people with God's promises, with God's provision. Yet we're living in caves, not eating what we're planting, but being oppressed and kept from the promises of God. Amen. We're God's chosen people. So he had to embrace that, man, everything getting ready to change now. And I can already see these dudes standing outside saying, bring me outside so they can kill me. That's the first thing. As long as I was going with the flow of everybody else, we were cool. But the moment I turn away, now y'all outside my door ready to kill me. And the third thing he had to embrace was a whole new lifestyle. And his lifestyle was a lifestyle of, now I'm not just making decisions based on what the culture is doing and what the culture is saying. I'm not making decisions based on what my daddy did. I'm not making decisions based on what's popular. I'm making my decisions after I confer with the Lord. I'm going to talk to God. God called me. God has proved to me, he's given me all these signs, and I was scared and I was a little uptight, and I knew that this was going to cause some backflow, you know, what they call the clapback. I knew that was going to happen. But I'm embracing this new lifestyle of, before I make a move, I got to check with the Lord. Totally unpopular. And so now today we're going to talk about when practical turns to miraculous. When practical turns to miraculous. See, all the things that Gideon did, they were very practical. And when you hear the word practical, that means that it's something that you just do. It's something that it doesn't take a whole lot of skill and a whole lot of knowledge and wisdom. It's real simple. Cut down your daddy's idol. That's very practical to do that. Accept the fact that your relationships are getting ready to change. That's very practical. Just embrace yourself for it. From now on, you're going to stop making decisions based on what's in your mind and what your mama and your daddy and what your culture does. And you're going to pray and you're going to ask God first. And you're going to believe that God's going to ask. That's practical. You can do that. Anybody, anywhere, at any time, in the name of Jesus, can stop or ride or walk or laying on your bed or on your knees or however you want to. You can pray to God and say, God, show me what to do. And I guarantee you, if you ask God to show you what to do, he will show you what to do. And so that was the practical thing to do. Now, we looked at the fact that once he did that practical thing, that it was a war. In Judges 6:33, right after the idol comes down, if you look back at that, it says, then the men of the city said, no, I'm sorry, verse 33 says, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. So the moment he did the practical thing, Gideon realizes now that this is no longer me getting ready to live oppressed. This is no longer me just watching my enemies eat up the food I planted. This is no longer me knowing what God says and knowing what's promised to me and just living without it. This is now me being directly opposed to and intentional to go against my enemies. I see them now, and now I realize I'm getting ready to have to go and face my enemy. God is practically telling me that, Gideon, you're getting ready to go into a war. You've embraced your identity. You have embraced your new relationships. You have embraced a new lifestyle. And now I'm getting ready to tell you to go get them. And we've already seen miraculous signs. Y'all, if y'all ready, y'all saw the angel of the Lord comes to him and he makes a sacrifice to him and fire comes up out of the rock. That's just a miraculous sign that God is talking to you. Then he saw the fleece. God, I don't know about this. Go and fight the Midianites. And Lord, have you seen how tall these Amalekites are? These dudes are crazy. And they spread all over the land like grasshoppers. I mean, you see what they got. Now, if you're saying, go, Lord, I'm going to go, but I need a little sign. God gives them a sign, a miraculous sign. Sign where the water was supposed to be on everything. And he said, well, just leave that dry. And I don't know. Then he came back and said, well, there's one more sign, Lord. Put the water on this and leave everything else dry. And God did that. And so he gives them the signs. And then Gideon now, though, as he's looking at what he's going to have to face, Gideon is now in need of a miracle. And what we're going to look at is how Gideon's practical steps turned into miraculous power. Sometimes, let me just throw a little side note here. Sometimes we think that we got to be these special people. There's got to be this special kind of anointing on us. And it's something that has to be this long history of relationship with God and all this knowledge of the scriptures and all of this stuff, rather than it just really being something real practical God tells you to do. And he meets it with miraculous power. See, Gideon was not really a special guy. His family was broke. He was poor. He was scary. But he would obey a simple thing to see miraculous power. That's what we're going to look at. Look at chapter 7, verses 4 through 7. It says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. bring them down now to the water, and I will test them for you. And it should be that, of whom I say unto thee, we talking here, this is a relationship, you're not making decisions anymore, I'm making the decisions, I'm going to tell you what to do. Who I tell you, these will go with you, and the same shall go with you. And whoever I tell you, say unto you that they won't go, the same won't go. Verse 5, he says, so he brought them down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shalt thou set by himself. Put them away from you. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink, same way. I don't want them to go. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto him, unto Gideon, by this 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his place. Now, can you imagine? You have the land covered. It says, without number, as the sand by the seashore. This is how many people were coming against Gideon and his family. God dwindles it all the way down to 300. Now, I would say at this point, he's in need of a miracle. Amen. 300 against, you can't even count them. And all God is saying, I just want you to do the practical, Gideon. And I don't want you to make the decision based on what you're looking at. I want you to make your decisions based on what I'm saying to you, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So God has spoken, and we know we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if God has spoken to me, that is my life in those words. In those words. And so you look at the same chapter, verse 9, if you think you got to be this mighty person, you think you got to be this super great guy or woman, look at verse 9. He says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, get up. So first, let's look at this. First thing, Gideon makes a decision to do the very practical thing and dwindle down the number to the people that God wanted. That's practical. Now, the next thing comes, here comes another miraculous sign. The very night, the same night, the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto your hand. Did he say, I'm going to? What did he say, y'all? He said, it's done. You just did something practical. Now your enemy is already at your feet. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. But if, look at verse 10, if you are afraid to go down. Now, does that not express mercy and grace from God? Does that not say to you that God is saying, no, I'm not expecting you to make these big jumps without fear and emotion. And I'm not expecting you to change everything, but I am expecting you to obey me and trust me. No, you don't have it all together, and I don't expect you to have it all together, because guess what? Your having it all together is not what's going to win this battle. I'm going to win your battle. Isn't that cool? He says, if you're scared. Now, see, when I was on the streets coming up, I said, if you're scared, say you're scared and go on home. And then I asked the question. I said, well, wait a minute, Lord. Because the other scared folks you sent home. Isn't that right? Remember, the first people he weeded out were the people that were afraid. Amen. Why did Gideon qualify? I'm like, what's the deal here? Now, this is speculation. I can't say I got revelation on this, but I can say this with confidence. Gideon was the one that would obey whether he was scared or not. Gideon was the one that said, if God said it, I'm doing it. I don't care if I'm scared. Gideon was the one that said, I'm not going to let an emotion direct me. I'm going to let the word of God direct me. I don't care how I feel. I'm gone. I mean, I don't have to tell y'all how many times somebody say they all down for the cause, and then when the water starts rising up around your neck, then they gone. When trouble hits, now I can't, I'm out of here. This ain't from God. Gideon knew it was from God. He had all the signs it was from God. And whether he was afraid or not, he did what God said to do. Amen. Verse 11, he says, and you are going, he said, go down there. Take your servant with you. Don't go by yourself. Go by two, by two. He says, go down there. And he says, and you're going to hear what they say. And afterward, shall your hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. That's why I got this from. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when they say without number, these were people who were skilled in looking out and said, oh, yeah, that's about 1,000. And then they could just count in their head. OK, that's about 30,000. But they said, man, we looked and we couldn't even count them. Verse 13, it says, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midian and came unto a tent and hit it, and it fell and it turned over and it just lay flat on the ground. And this fellow answered and said, this ain't nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand has God delivered the Midianites and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshiped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. So here we have Gideon does a very practical thing. Miracles, they often require a very practical step, y'all. The practical with God leads to the miraculous. The practical is often against your feelings. I mean, if you can imagine this, God knew he was scared. He said, so if you're scared, just go down there and I'm going to give you another sign. Because I've already sent them a dream. And God said, go on down there, take your buddy down there. He hears the story and he hears the interpretation. And they saying, man, we done. This is nothing but Gideon coming. We are toast. And what did God say? He said, if you go down there, because I know you're scared and everything, you're gonna hear what they say, and it's going to make you stronger. It's going to confirm that I'm with you. It's going to confirm that you're not going to lose. It's going to confirm it so much so that with 300 men, you're not even going to think about who you're going against. You're going to be ready to go face them jokers. Gideon's act of obedience, because God could have said to him, well, if you're scared, go down and you're going to hear what they say. Gideon could have said, no, I'm scared. It's dark. I don't know if I'm going to get ambushed. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to lay low and not know that I got the victory. See, that little act of obedience to just, if you're scared, he has one more step to take. And even in that one more step, it would have been scary to take that step. It would have been scary to go down at night against your enemy into their camp. But even in that, he said, okay, if you're gonna show me something else to make me even stronger, if you give me one more thing to do, one more practical thing, I can get up and take my buddy down there like you said. And if you said do something, I'm sure if you telling me I'm going to win, there's no way I'm going to die tonight. Sometimes it's just logical. Why would God tell you you're going to win the battle and then send you into what seems like is going to be death? So you can die. Wasn't this all about God getting the glory? Would God send you somewhere? Would God tell you to do something against your own feelings only for him to get no glory? Does God want you looking like a fool, therefore him looking like a fool? Does God want you to lose trusting him and telling everybody you trusting in the Lord only so he can look like he's not faithful? Oh, believe me, God want to get his glory. See, because you being sent by God, remember the ones he sent home, he said, nope, go, let them go because they're not going to give me the glory. He sent the people who he knew would come back. Like Gideon could have came back and said, man, I won this battle. Nope, he came back and said, God has delivered the Midianites into your hand. Gideon was all about his people. And he was all about the glory of God. You know, to just bring some more practical to miraculous, you can look just at the miracles of Jesus. How the practical turns to miraculous, even when it goes against your feelings and your experience. Jesus tells them they're at a wedding. He tells them, they say that we're out of wine. He tells them, bring some water pots, fill them up with water. Now, you know that one person standing, didn't we say we need wine? Ain't nobody on no health kick right now. We're trying to get, it's a wedding, man. We're trying to celebrate. So you got that one person. No, no, you know, let's just go buy it. He said, fill them up with water. He says, okay, now draw out. See, the practical things, get the pots, fill them up with water, put your ladle in there. Practical turns to miraculous. There's the man with the curled up arm. Shriveled up all his life. Well, who knows how long? I don't know. Maybe he cut a tendon or something. I don't know why. But his arm was curled up. The Lord Jesus comes up to him and says, stretch out your arm. Now, he could have went by his feelings. He could have went by his emotions. He could have went by his experience. I've never been able to stretch this arm out. Stretch it out. Stretched out his arm, says that his arm was made whole. Just like the other one. Practical meets miraculous. How about this one? The daughter, sick, close to death. Jairus' daughter. They go get Jesus in a scurry. Man, she getting ready to die. She on a deathbed. Come on, hurry up. And then they get interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. Deal with her and, you know, like, look, Lord, we need to hurry up and get to this girl because she's dying. As if Jesus is on some kind of deadline or something. Like, you know, you don't hurry up, we're going to lose. Deal with the woman with the issue of blood. Turn over to the family. They say, it's too late. She's dead. He said, take me to her. Now, the practical thing was to just take Jesus to the girl, right? They could have said, she dead now. Just keep on going where you're going. I would side note y'all on how many people and gave up and said, Jesus, just keep on going. It's too late for this to change. But I ain't going to go there. How about this one? Peter, out on the boat, fishing all night long, can't catch a thing. Decides, pull in the nets, row back to the shore. We're done here. Jesus says, launch out into the deep. Let's go back out where you just thought you couldn't do anything. The practical thing is get your nets, turn the boat around, go back out to where Jesus said go, where you thought you were losing because Jesus spoke. They said they pulled in so many fish, it filled up the boat and almost sunk them. The practical meets the miraculous. The word of God comes into your ear and obedience turns to power. I mean, we've always heard, I mean, if you've been in church more than 5 years, you've heard obedience is better than sacrifice, right? The beauty of the gospel is that We're not obeying to be saved. We're obeying because obedience puts us in a place where we can see the power of God operating our lives. God is trying to tell us what to do, not so we can be saved. God is trying to show us what to tell us what to do so we can see the salvation. So you can see it live and operating in your life. God wants you to see his power. So let's. Is my time up? I was going to say, I didn't know I was on the timer. So let's put some meat on this in our own lives. Gideon makes this decision to accept his identity. He makes this decision to accept his new relationships. He accepts this. He embraces a new lifestyle, as many Christians do. And so many of us as Christians, I'm one of them, didn't know that the minute that I made this decision that I'm new, Christ died for me, I'm a new creature in him, all my sins are forgiven, old things have become new, my past is washed away, and I'm reconnected to God. And now all this crazy stuff that I was in relationships with people and all this dirt and all of this stuff, all that's over. I'm getting ready to be with the people of God. And guess what? I'm getting ready to start praying and asking God what he wants me to do on a daily basis. God, what do you want me today? Here I am, Lord. Use me. Amen. But I didn't know I was going to end up in a war. What war are you in right now or running from? Is it a dead legacy? Is it addiction? And that could be to chocolate. It'll kill you too. What war are you in right now and you questioning whether God has even called you? Are you making the mistake of making this decision for Jesus Christ and feeling like the Midianites was just going to go away? No, they're not going anywhere. You got to go through the Midianites now. Have you been getting signs? Well, what signs, Brother Aaron? I mean, I was waiting on the curtains to move. I prayed the other day, and the house didn't shake. The curtains didn't move. The earth didn't tremble. It wasn't a crack of lightning or nothing. But for some reason, you can't shake the idea of being other than who God called you to be. For some reason, you got burning in your heart that there's something better. Something won't let you shake the idea of a new horizon in your life. Something won't let you accept going back. That's a sign right there. You know how easy it is for some people to just walk away from the Lord? Some would say they weren't called. But I think something is telling you that you called, right? You can't let go. You can't go to sleep. You can't wake up. You can't go through a moment of your life without realizing who you belong to. Even when you're on the outside of the fence, you know, I'm in the wrong place. That tells me you're not in darkness at all. You know where you at, and you know that by the grace of a loving God. Which feelings do you need to ignore? Gideon had to ignore his fear to do the practical thing that God was calling him to do. What practical thing are you supposed to be doing right now that some feeling is keeping you from doing? Is it fear? Is it anger? Is it pessimism? Doubt, laziness. Is it a feeling right now that's determining your actions more than what God has said? Because you know what? When you do the practical, in spite of your feelings, you're setting yourself up to see the miraculous. Don't let your feelings keep you from doing the practical so you can see the miraculous. Amen. Sometimes, man, it's look, you done had this book on your heart for 9 years. And for whatever reason, you just keep procrastinating. It could be something real simple. And sometimes we think it's just sin. It's not always what you need to stop doing when it comes to seeing the power of God. Sometimes it's what you need to start doing. And matter of fact, more than not, it's what you need to start. God didn't tell Gideon, you need to cut loose all your sins before you go dealing with somebody else's idol. Now, look, you pulling down an idol. You ain't got less sin than us. God didn't say, hey, Gideon, you need to deal with your sin before you deal with these people's idolatry. He was in the same stuff. He hadn't said anything before, right? But it's when God spoke. Don't let somebody try to condemn you out of who you really supposed to be because you know you got your own issues. Go and be who God told you to be. Amen. Amen. See the miraculous by doing the practical. I want to encourage you to go back to chapter 7, verse 11. That first part, it says, hey, if you just go ahead and do this, I'll encourage you. I'll strengthen you. Sometimes it's not until you take the practical step that you see that you get that power. Remember when Jesus was in the garden right before he had to take that big step? The Bible says that he was sweating so intensely that blood came out of his pores. He said, Lord, will you pass this cup away from me? No answer. You know what to do. The practical is to go through this sacrifice. He makes up his mind. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours is, I'm going. The Bible says that immediately, what happened, y'all remember? Angels came and strengthened him. Sometimes you just feel like you're finna crack up and fall to pieces if you have to do what God's saying do. I'm not forgiving them. I'm not letting this go. I'm not biting my tongue. And I'm getting ready to catch him and run him off in the ditch. You ain't gonna never cut me off again. And it's not until you do that practical thing against your feelings that you can be strengthened. So the whole time, this is the really encouraging part. That was challenging stuff to think about. But this is the encouraging part. The whole time that Gideon was doing those practical things, he gets down to the camp and find out we don't even have to fight. The victory is already mine. God has already defeated your enemy. That's wild. The only reason I'm saying this, y'all, is because I know that, and I'm not talking about just once in my life, there have been times, seasons in my life that I've lived in a cave with bats and beetles, working hard to plant seeds and not able to eat what I planted or live where God said I am supposed to live. And I'm saying all of this because God is showing us all that in Gideon's journey, Gideon had to fly in the face of his feelings and do the practical thing before he could see the miraculous power of God working in his life and to ultimately find out that, hey, you know, all this stuff you just went through to show that you will obey me and you love me. I beat your enemies already. And we don't even realize that all that was doing was shaping us for a future without the enemies. So that when our enemies come, we already know God got this. I've been through this before. And this is a whole lot smaller than a whole sea of Midianites and Amalekites. So can you believe that you already have the victory in Christ Jesus? Can you believe that as you take hard steps and as you make tough decisions, as you suffer in your flesh, the fear and the anxiety and the fear of loss and the anger and all of the stuff that you go through, as God's telling you, this is the way, walk in this way. And you got all this stuff going on inside you, and it's making you want to cut and run and turn back or quit or just live in a cave. Can you believe that all of that that God is telling you to do is leading you to the place where you ain't got to worry about a thing? See, for some of us, I think that the question is not, does God perform miracles? The question is, will you obey him to see him? And without going through a whole slew of different scenarios of what the blessing is, how about we just go with some real simple things? How about just love? A lot of us struggle with loving. How about joy? A lot of us, our enemy got us hemmed up and we don't have no joy. How about peace? Y'all know I say all the time, peace is not the absence of war. Peace is knowing you have the victory in the war. How about long suffering? Some of us, one little prick and we done backslap somebody. How about temperance? See, this is the fruit of the Spirit that brings the word to tell us the practical things to do that we really want to be living in this stuff. We really want to see the miraculous power of God working in our lives in ways where we're no longer moved by our enemies. That is what God wants for me. That's why I say, look, we're going to go through this journey. We're going to look at Gideon's life. We're going to compare our lives to it. Some of these things are going to be very challenging. But remember, thus Midian was subdued before Israel. And they could no longer hold their head up. They could no longer look at Gideon like he was some peon. And the land had quietness. That's where your life is going when you do the practical. The miraculous will be that you have peace. You know who you are. You accept who you are. You're not struggling with whether you should live the way you're living or not. You don't care about the persecution and the pressure that's coming from the world about how you're living and why you're making the decisions you're making for the Lord. You now know that the miraculous is coming to your life. It's before you, it's in you, and it's going to follow you. And whatever you put your hand to, God is going to bless it. Amen. Amen. It's good to be the children of the King, but it's even better to know that. You got to know who you are, and you got to know he has not left you, neither will he leave you, and he will never, ever forsake you. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day that you desire that we see the miraculous power that you offer to us in our lives. Whether it be a whole army or whether it just be our marriage, whether it be our job, whether it be our health, you want us to see your miraculous power working in our lives. Oh Lord, help us.